Same this morning. It's a pleasure to be in your midst and to worship with you. I apologize, my family, my wife, and a couple of the children couldn't be along this morning, but I am glad to be here and worship with you. And I trust that we can receive a blessing again from the Word of God. And I trust that we've been blessed as we've been here this morning and listened to the service so far. We think about I think about that passage of the children of Israel a lot, and at the Red Sea, and that, you know, there was nowhere to turn. If you look, Aaron, at, if you look up where they were actually at, where the children of Israel were at, was there was no, they were between a rock and a hard place. There was water ahead of them, and there was hills on both sides, and the Egyptians were coming in from the back. There was no way, there wasn't any way they're going to flee down the riverbank and get away. It was the end. And you think about that, and the hopeless situation they were in is quite amazing. And then they were supposed to stand still and see the salvation of God. How often do I stand still in my life and just wait on God? It's pretty hard at times when it seems like my circumstances are all against me and life is out to get me. It's not my message this morning. You turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. And Proverbs chapter 18, verse 12 says this: before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. I like to think about the concept of pride versus humility. And we live in a time when we have so much stuff, and sometimes it blurs our vision of who God is, and it blurs our vision of what's really important in life, and we become self-confident and we become self-reliant because we have so many things and we don't need God, do we? We get it confused. We think that because we can handle it, then we don't need God. Humility is something we talk about. It's something we preach about, but do we really live it? Do I live humility? Is that what I live? In 1 Peter 5, verse 5, it says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, submit, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that ye may be exalted in due time. Humble yourselves. A couple things about humility versus pride. Humility says we are all equal, while pride says I am better than you. Humility says, I will give what I have to help others, while pride says everyone needs to defend and help themselves. Humility admits a failure, while pride says, I have no failures. Humility is concerned what is right. Pride is concerned who is right. Humble people are full of God, while proud people are full of themselves. Humility is about God's glory, while pride is about my glory. Humility builds while pride destroys. Humility makes room for progress while the proud man believes he is already there. Does that describe me? Am I humble or am I proud? Where's my life? He says, yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. That idea of clothed there in that verse has the idea of being covered. Is my life just clothed with humility? Today's world identifies humility as humiliation. It identifies humility as a weakness. You are somebody. I need to be able to express myself. And it's about myself, me. I need to be able to say who I am. It's all in this idea of pride. In our churches, we struggle. We fight amongst ourselves. Because why? Is there a pride and humility issue in our lives? There's marriages that are broken. Every day there's marriages that fly apart. Why? Is it because pride and humility? Am I allowing in my marriage, am I allowing pride to enter my heart that I will not accept from my wife or I will not accept from my husband? Pride. We allow it to. I'd like to look at a couple of places where he talks about humility in Scripture. James 4, well, in 1 Peter 5 here, the idea or the Greek word for humility is topinos, and it means low or lowly. Okay? And then turn over to James chapter 4, verse 6. He talks about giving more grace. He says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And that would have the same Greek word with the same meaning of low or lowly. And then also in Matthew 18, we have another, a little different, but it has kind of the same meaning. Matthew 18, verse 4 says this, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. In verse 3, he talks about, he says, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And now you think about a child and a child's dependence upon their parents. You know, a child is born into the world and just that total dependent, you know, as a child and as they grow up, they leave the home. But, you know, just that total, that's, he's saying, that's what I want as my children. That's humility. Being as a little child, being totally dependent, being totally confident in the Master's hand and what his leading is for my life. That's what he's saying here. Unless you become as little children. And also in chapter 23, verse 12, we have the kind of the same meaning. It says, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. He's saying if we're going to exalt ourselves, then you're going to be brought low. But if we humble ourselves, and it has the idea, that word has the idea to make low, to bring oneself low. You know, we get the idea in our lives that the better Christian I am, then the bigger I'll get, you know, in the eyes of man. And God says, the better Christian you are, the lower you'll get in the eyes of man. Also in, back to James chapter 4, we have another, James chapter 4 verse 10 says this, it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. God will lift us up. And that has the idea of to make oneself low. Kind of the same concept, to bring oneself low. And then in Acts chapter 20, verse 19, yet, we have another word, humility, used, humble. Acts chapter 20, verse 19 says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Serving the Lord with humility of mind. And that has the idea of lowliness of mind. The idea of our thought life and what I am thinking. How am I thinking? Is humility in my mind? You know, we have our eyes that see things. And through our eyes, stuff enters into our mind. And through our mind, stuff enters into our heart. And through our heart, stuff comes out of our mouth and our life and our actions. And what am I allowing thoughts of humility and thoughts of adoration for God rather than myself? Because if I allow my eyes to see, read, my mind can think those things. And then it will go to my heart. Proverbs 22, verse 4 says, "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life." By humility and the fear of the Lord. Humility is emptying myself. Humbleness is not about having an opinion or idea, but rather having one that is directed by God. And humility is not pursuing self, but pursuing God. It's not pursuing what I think about something, but about what about God? What does God think about this? When I humble myself, I open my life up before God. Humility has nothing to hide. Pride, in the other sense, has a lot to hide. Humility creates an open lifestyle, while pride creates a very closed lifestyle. How willing am I to admit a failure? How willing am I to admit my wrongs in my life? Failure will come. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, verse 3 says this, "For I say through the grace given unto me, that every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. So many times we have a much greater opinion of ourselves than we really ought to have. And we think we're a lot more important than we really are. What is the most important thing in my life? Is it myself, what I do, or is it God? Humility is building other people. It's building God's kingdom. It's not so worried about me, myself, and I, but it's worried about other people and their relationship with God. We need to be weak in ourselves, but strong in the Lord. And we need to allow God to be first in our lives. And humility allows that. Humility builds, does not destroy. It builds my relationship with God. It also builds my brothers and sisters in the church. When I am humble and willing to take second place in my life. Jesus, in his life's ministry here on earth, gave us a beautiful example of one who was humble, who was willing to put others first. It didn't mean Jesus didn't have an opinion. It didn't mean Jesus wasn't stern with people. It didn't mean that, but he was willing to be abused. And I think the death on the cross was one of the greatest acts of humility in the life of Jesus. One person said it this way. He said, humility is not pushing ourselves forward, nor is it pushing ourselves backward. It is forgetting ourselves and pushing others forward and upward. Also, we have Barnabas as a good example in Scripture of one who was willing to be second place, be willing to be a part of with Paul, but yet, you know, you don't read a lot about Barnabas, but he was willing to do his part in God's kingdom. You know, from an earthly perspective, we all like to increase our value. We all like to gain in life. That's, you know, we get ahead in life. We increase in life. And you earn money to pay your bills, and you try to get ahead in life. And sometimes we take that into the spiritual sense, and we take our earthly values into the spiritual life and try to get ahead in a spiritual sense. And we forget that getting ahead in a spiritual sense is reading this book, and it's understanding this book, and it's studying this book. And we spend our time running about, trying to figure out how to get ahead. Matthew 23, verse 12, we read that. It says, whosoever exalts himself shall be humbled. Or am I trying to push my own agenda? Or am I trying to push God's kingdom? One person said it this way. He said, measure yourself by your eagerness to decrease, so that Christ may be all in all. Measure yourself by your willingness for others to receive the prominence while you are forgotten, for others to receive credit for what you have worked so hard to achieve. Measure yourself by your joy in working the hardest in the most obscure possession. By Wesley Dwell. In other words, just do what is right. Do the next thing in your life. Be willing to listen. Psalms 51, verse 17 says this, the sacrifice of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Actually, turn to Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah 62, verse 2, says this, and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. The idea of not calling our own name, but allowing other to build us up. James 3, verse 13 says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by a good life, by deeds done in humility that come from wisdom. In 1 Peter 5 and 6, we read there, it says, God opposes the proud. He resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Do I gather the importance of God resisting a proud heart in me? A proud heart will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Do I understand that? Do I understand Scripture to say that? He's saying, you know, I only reveal myself to those who are lowly. I only lead those who are humble, those who are willing to be the least. We know the two disciples that wanted to sit on the right and the left hand of Jesus. And, you know, do I want the highest seat? For what reason? What reason do I want the highest seat? The benefits of humility. I said earlier that our world identifies humility as humiliation. And as I am humble, what does it do for me? First of all, it puts you at the bottom in the sight of men. Because humility is identified as humiliation. But the benefit of that is that humility is the greatest defense against Satan. First of all, if I'm at the bottom, I don't have far to fall. The higher you fly, the farther you have to fall in your life. Nothing sets a person apart further. Jonathan Edwards said this. He said, "Nothing sets a person so much out of Satan's reach as humility. Humility is the greatest protection against falling headlong into Satan's trap. A proud heart, Satan loves a proud heart. He can do a lot with a proud heart because a proud heart is about self. It's about me. And when life is about me, then God isn't in the picture. And when God isn't in the picture, then all options are open to what I want to do with my life. Humility can be a true blessing. When I have true humility, there's power in my life to serve in the kingdom of God. When I have true humility, when I let humility be my life, and I can serve. You ever find too many proud people serving? I don't know you'll find any of them. And if you do, it doesn't work real well. Because a proud person serving is about themselves and about what the other people can do for them. A humble person serving is about what I can do for other people. What kind of mentality do I have about serving? There is true power in humility to serve God's kingdom. And God can use that. I say, when I am humble, I say, "Yes, Lord, I'll do that for you." And God can use you. God can show you. God can lead you. But God can't lead a proud person. Turn to Psalms 126, verse 6. Another blessing that a humble person will have. Is fruit bearing. The last verse of Psalms 126 says this. He says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." A humble heart is one that is bearing fruit for Jesus Christ. We have in Galatians the fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and it's one that's producing that. It's one that's a fruitful life that others see. Talks about in, I think it's in Matthew, it talks about by their fruits ye shall know them. And you know, my life, what kind of fruit am I producing? The fruit of the proud says By their fruits ye shall know them. So am I producing the fruit of a humble person? And a humble person produces the fruit of God and His kingdom. Am I producing my own fruit? Or the fruit of the evil kingdom? What kingdom am I serving? Humility is glorifying God. It's realizing that God is much greater than me. You know, when I look at the greatness of God, okay, when the children of Israel, there's times in our life when it's easier to see the greatness of God than other times. And you know, when the children of Israel got across the Red Sea, they got on the other side and the water covered the Egyptians with all over, then it was pretty easy to glorify God. But you know, when they were on the other side of the sea, and the Egyptians were behind them, and life seemed pretty tough, it's pretty hard to glorify God. Humility says that God will provide a way, and I need to wait. It allows one to wait on God and His work, realizing that God's got it under control. You know, if the God who created me knows my life from the beginning, from the end, and He knows what's going to happen in my life, why would I fight in myself and say I know how to run my life? Why would I say, you know, God, you don't know what you're doing? He's breathed into your nostrils the breath of life at the very beginning of your life. And He knew, He placed you in the home you were in. He put you in the life you were in. He brought the circumstances into your life that came through. And He knows the circumstances you're going to face tomorrow, the next day, the years you live. So why would I try to fight with God and tell Him He don't know what's best for my life? That He don't understand my life. That He don't know what I'm going through. Because He does. He knows what we're going through. And He understands what we're going through. And I need to humble myself and say, I'm yours, God. And to go where you want me to go. We need to submit ourselves. We need to surrender ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our life. We need to be more worried about what is building God's kingdom than how I feel about life. Humility allows us to look at things correctly. It allows us to see the bigger picture. When I get my life wrapped around myself, that's what I see. I see myself. I see how other people make me feel. I see what life is doing to me. I see what, and I kind of have everything focused right here. When I get outside that, humility allows me to get outside that and to look at the bigger picture. And look at my life in light of circumstances and in light of God's kingdom and other people. I love that verse 6 of our text. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and He shall lift you up. Christ isn't about, it's not about, He's not trying to put you under some iron hand, says, you know, He's not trying to hold you under some screw that kind of keeps you down, you know, where you need to be. If that's how you feel, then that's not God putting you under that. Maybe there's some things in your life that need to change. Sometimes when we feel like we're under an iron hand, maybe it's not God's hand. Maybe God isn't there? I don't know. You know, we need to ask ourselves that question. Maybe there's things in my life that need to change because God isn't happy with my life. And the humility to admit that and say, I was wrong. Moody said this. He said, there are better men coming after me. The beginning of greatness is to be little. The increase of greatness is to be less. And the perfection of greatness is to be nothing. Am I willing to allow other men to grow beyond me? You know, one of the things that pride does in my life, you fight for the top. I need to be a notch above other people. And humility says, blesses those who grow beyond you. When humility is in my life, I bless those who can grow beyond me. And I am ready to lift others up for the glory of God. Am I willing to be less in the kingdom of God? Humility is not so much worried about what I think, but about what God thinks. How God looks at these things. You know, pride today has destroyed many things. It's destroyed churches, destroys marriages, destroys homes. And sometimes I think we need to just learn that we need to get in perspective life. And that life is more about my personal walk with God and where I'm at with God. And in that, I can grow in myself, and it's not so much about myself, but it's about God. And we need to keep that straight. One person said it this way. He said, true humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. And we need to be ready to put God first. Am I of use in God's kingdom? Am I allowing God to use me? Am I humble so that God can teach me? Am I teachable? Can I be taught? And being taught doesn't only happen with just you and God. This happens horizontally. We teach each other in our lives. Am I willing to accept from my brothers and sisters things they have about my life? Am I willing to accept concerns they have with my life? Am I willing to take that? And to, maybe you don't feel like there's any good in what they had to say. Maybe you don't feel like what they said is true. But am I willing to take it and evaluate it and take the good out of it and use that? Am I willing to do that? I hope this morning has challenged you to live a life of humility, one that is of use in God's kingdom and one that God can use. That's the only prayer.